Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we've got a very special sermon and show and music and everything for the people today, right?
Well, I tell you, we always try to do something every week that is fresh and anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't like feeding people leftovers.
Of course not.
So every week we're on this, I try to have something mm-hmm. brand new. And if you can look on it, that 6 or 7 years ago, I was a lot younger, so I can't catch you on it. It has to be regular messages.
Well, Russ, when every month we get a list of what people are saying about Cowboy Church. They love your messages. They love the realness of it. They love the freshness. And so continue to do what you're doing, okay?
Well, that in mind, I have a couple little comments about these three people of influence.
Okay.
And some of the most influential people that, next to Jesus, that have ever lived. And in Hebrews, it talks about them. And one of them is Abraham. One of them is Sarah, his wife. The other one is Noah. And these are such people of influence. And I was reading a list of how influential these people have been. You know that every Jewish person, every Israelite, since Abraham, comes from that cross between Sarah and Abraham.
Yeah.
And the influence they had, they only had one child, yet the Bible says the whole world would be blessed by them. Mm-hmm. And all of the things that the Jewish people have come up with, and during, like right now, the technology that's all over Europe, over 50% of the technology companies in Europe right now have been started by Jewish people. So even today, their influence is wonderful here. And actually, through the other guy, Noah, we're related. Did you know that?
Hmm.
Because if we track it back,
yeah,
we all go back to Noah. And you know what Noah did? He built an ark. He saved his family and he saved some animals. And if he was a pastor, he would have only had 8 people in his church and they were all family members. You know, that doesn't sound like a lot of influence.
No.
But everything that's going on today, had Noah not been obedient to God, then we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't exist.
Right.
We wouldn't be here.
Yeah, wouldn't be here today. So sit back and relax. We're going to Cowboy Church.
You know, Mark, in my life, I've had a few things go on that's been a lot of trouble for me. And I really didn't understand the calm that Jesus can bring until in my later years. In fact, I'm 65 years old right now, and it's only been in the last year that I've really been able to tap in to what Jesus really meant when he was in the boat with the disciples. And they woke him up and they said, there's a storm, and aren't you afraid that we're all going to die? We're all going to perish. Why don't you do something and calm this thing? And he did.
Right.
But in the last, since COVID hit in 2020, when it really slowed us down and we had to stay home because, you know, a lot of our jobs had been canceled and things in the community were canceled and church was even canceled at some point. Yeah. And we went in and did that thing. I really had a hard time just settling myself and having that calm that everything would be all right. And do you know why? I realized why.
Oh, I'd like to know.
I kept myself so busy going here, there, and everywhere that I didn't even have time to think about it.
You've had a very busy schedule for about 55 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I really think I'm going to tell this story in a later episode of Cowboy Church, but I really think that when I got sick after I got COVID,
right,
I think it was for a purpose in a way, because if I hadn't have gotten sick and had to slow down, then I may have been sicker. So maybe God saved my life in calming me down and saying, you know what, you've got to learn to sit and be still.
He gave you the waves and the water coming over the front of the boat.
Exactly.
When Jesus is in the boat, there's no need to panic.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes I let this old world have its way with me. There is no escape as far as I can see. Oh, I'm captured by the wind. I break so helplessly. I know if not for you, there'd be no hope for me. You are the calm at the center of my storm. When the cold winds blow, you're the fire that keeps me warm. And when this old world gets me down, oh, I will rest inside your arms. You are the calm at the center of my storm. If I could only learn to always turn to you, instead of thinking I always know what to do. And why does it take the darkness for my eyes to see? There's never been a time when you weren't there for me. And you are the calm at the center of my storm. When the cold winds blow, you're the fire that keeps me warm. And when this old world gets me down, oh, I will rest inside your arms. You are the calm at the center of my storm. When this old world gets me down, oh, I will rest inside your arms. You are the calm at the center of my storm. You are the calm at the center of my storm. You are the calm at the center of my storm.
There is no chance that all of those things could happen the way they happened, when they happened, how they happened, in the order that they happened. Those things could not have happened per chance. That had to be arranged by somebody. And so for all of those timing things, God knew what it would take for us to be believers. And when we understand that God has perfect timing in sending his son, then he has perfect timing in our life if we will trust our life to him. There it is. Pray for rain in the spring when the rains come. God has a timing for your life, and if you can begin to develop a feel for when God's doing what God wants to do, guys, it's not a Fruit Loops kind of a thing. It's a spiritual walk, but it's not like a do-do-do-do-do-do Frankenstein kind of a thing. There's a peace that begins to come into this. You begin to understand that God knows what he's doing. I don't have to worry about it. God's timing is perfect. God, if it's his will, God can make it work. I just want to be close enough that I know what God's will is when it comes, that I don't miss God's timing. And the only way I can do that is stay in connection with him. The other day, Well, yesterday, I was out working in the barn. We were cleaning stalls, and Anna was helping us. And she had mentioned to us that she was going to go work out, and she had a friend that she likes to work out with. And her friend came by and got some feed, and then they went to work out. Well, when I got done cleaning the stalls, I thought she'd gone into the house. So I went into the house, and she wasn't there. Jet, my grandson, was with me, and I said, "Did you see where Anna went?" And he goes, "No." And so I thought, well, usually she tells me. Ah, I know, because she writes on the calendar where she goes just in case I miss it, because sometimes I forget. I get preoccupied with life. Went to the calendar where she puts it, didn't write anything. I thought, what in the world? And so I asked Jed again. I said, "Did she say anything about where she's going to go?" He goes, "No, I don't think so." I said, "Well, you think she went to work out?" You know, we went through all of the scenarios. Now, because I know her, I know that she probably mentioned this to me and I missed it. Okay. Because I know her. And I guessed that she'd gone to work out with her friend. So when she came home, I said, "So were you with Penny? Did you guys go to work out?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I said, "I figured that out, kind of, but I didn't see it on your calendar because I'm not going to tell her right off. You didn't tell me where you went because I don't like to be that guy. But I looked on your calendar. I didn't find it. And I just was wondering where you were." And she said, "Well, I had mentioned it, but I didn't tell you that I was going to go." So she apologized to me. But the thing of that is that had we been talking right at that moment, she would say, "I'm going to go work out with Penny. I'll see you later." But I was busy. She was busy. Penny was there and they were moving around and everything was going full blast. And she hopped in the car knowing that she had mentioned that to us earlier, but not really. And so the thing we took of it is this, that if we talk with each other, then the communications works a lot better. Communications doesn't happen very good if you don't talk to each other. You can't communicate with God if you can't talk to him. You don't know what God's got going on if you don't read his word, if you don't read the Bible. You have to communicate. That's called prayer and timing. Then you have to know the seasons. There's a time to ask. There is a time to ask. There's so you can make your own illustration up for this. Have you ever had one of your kids come into the house right in the middle of a conversation you're having with your wife or with one of your friends, or you're on the phone and your kids just disregard the whole deal and they, Dad. You think, hang on just a second. Yeah, what? Can I have a drink of water? Or something even less than that. They interrupt what you've got going on. It's really good for us to learn timing. If we expect our kids to learn timing, then we need to learn timing before God. Timing is very important. And there's a season that goes with that timing. The seasons are like this. Spring, you know, winter, spring, fall. Right now, we're filming this, but we have a freeze setting in Fort Worth here, and we're trying to hurry so that the bus can get out and all of that sort of. It's a timing kind of a thing. But there's winter, there's fall, you got summer and spring, and all of those. There are certain kinds of things that happen because of those seasons. And God has seasons in our life. Right now, I'm an older guy. I'm not experiencing the same kind of seasons as I had when I was 20 years old and had goals and had ideas and had dreams of where I was going to be and thinking about where we's going to go and all of that sort of the season of my life right now is a combination of reflective, and it's a combination of preparing the next generation for what they have for next. Now, so we go through seasons in our life. And when we understand the seasons, then we begin to understand how to negotiate those seasons. And today I want for you to be able to look at the season of your life, and I want you to be able to be grateful for the season you're in, and I want you to be able to utilize it to the best of your ability according to God's plan and His will. So the next principle that I've found, it's from Genesis chapter 1, and it said, ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for He makes the storms, make the storm clouds, and He will send the showers of rain. It says, ask the Lord. In Genesis 1:1, it gives us a clue to where He is at. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did it. In the beginning is God. And what that is the acceptance of deity, the acceptance of God putting things together, the acceptance of God having a plan for your life, the acceptance of God being in charge of everything. And because of that, when we begin to pray, when we begin to seek God, who we're seeking is the God who's in charge of everything. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to understand that this is God the Father, affiliated with God the Son who died on the cross for our sins, and with God the Holy Spirit who now walks among us and works among us and speaks to our heart and comforts our heart. And as Jesus is bringing intercession, the Holy Spirit is directing and pointing us to Jesus and to the cross. It's about deity. Jesus said it like this, I am, I can, and I will. He is a part of deity, Jesus. So if you want to remember these, it's PTSD, prayer, timing, season, and deity, PTSD. There's three more principles, and I want to get to them. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, King Saul had disobeyed Samuel, and he didn't do what Samuel had told him to do. He didn't get rid of all the oxen. He was going to keep them. He was going to go in the cattle business because of the raid, but he was supposed to kill everything. And because he didn't, Samuel said to him, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. He's asked the Lord for rain in the spring. We need to be obedient to that. We need to be obedient to God's timing. And when we begin to obey God, it just helps us live better. Now, guys, what I want for you is to have a stress-free existence. The only way that that happens is when you begin to understand that God's in charge. God is the one He created it all. He put it all together. And all He wants us to do is tap into His will, tap into His timing, tap into His seasons, and tap into Him being God. He's in charge. He's in charge. And the sooner that we do that, the more peace we have in our life. I'm not in charge of this. I'm not in charge of how long we stay on the air. I'm not in charge of any of the things. What I'm in charge of is being faithful to God to do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it in a manner that would be pleasing to Him. And that manner that would be pleasing to Him is called obedience. The next one is order. Who's in charge? He's God. He's in charge. So let Him. I'm not in charge of this. I'm not in charge of His business. Psalms 103, verse 19, talks about us being under His authority, Him being in charge, us being obedient. That's humility. He's in charge. So the next two is O and I O, and you like this for the closer on it. is faith. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard me say this over and over again, but I'm going to repeat it just because it takes about 18 hits to get it. Faith is a word that is a secondary word. In English, it's faith, then faithful is a suffix that goes on the end of the word faith. Faithful. But in the original Greek, the word is faithful is the root word. The addendum to the word faithful is the word we translate faith. So faithful is the root. And if we understand what faithfulness is we stay faithful. God is faithful. And if God is faithful and we're faithful to him, when we begin to communicate and God begins to speak, when he speaks, we can take his word for it because he's faithful. And when we take his word for it, when we get his directive on what's going on and we begin to operate on it, we're operating in faith. Let me give you an example. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you put your belief and life in him, what you're doing is you're accepting his faithfulness and his word because you heard his word. And when he speaks that word, then you can stand on it. It doesn't work the other way around when you tell God what to do and then say, we're going to claim it and expect God to follow it. No. You hear God's word. You step out in faith because you've heard God's word. And that's what faith comes from, is from God being faithful and you being faithful to hear God's voice. Faithful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then in Matthew 11:28, when you look through this, prayer, timing, seasons, and deity, which is PTSD, in Matthew 11:28-30, he says, come unto me, all the labor and are sick and heavy laden, and I will give you. And I love the way that the message, the Bible, that if you look in your app, pull up the Message translation, and it's not really a translation. It's a transliteration of a translation. But the way that they put this is one of the best I've ever heard. In Matthew 11:28-30, it says you can tap into the unmatched rhythms of grace. The unmatched rhythms of grace. See that all we're talking about is prayer and timing, the seasons and deity and the obedience and the order and the faith. When we tap into those, then we run into the unmatched rhythms. We understand how God begins to operate, God's timing. We begin to see how God works, and we begin to appreciate God's timing, and those unmatched rhythms of grace begin to work in our lives, and it takes the stresses out. He says to them, walk with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn them. How do you learn them? By walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, watching the unforced rhythms of grace working in him and working in his people. Now, people are going to let you down. You do know that. But still, you can learn enough from them that you'll understand those unforced rhythms of grace. What I wish for you today is that you can tap into those unforced rhythms. Your life would begin to be grace-based. The stresses in life wouldn't affect you in a negative way. There are going to be stresses. That's the way life is. But God's going to give you what you need in order for you to be able to cope and for you to succeed and overcome and deal with the stresses that life brings. I'm wishing you the best. God bless you.